Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:50 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 28th, and of course, it being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But first, let's have a review of what's been happening this week, because this has been another week in which we've had some really quite exceptional activity right across asset classes. So, I think the biggest news this week has been in the bond markets. We continue to see that those 3-month yields are right down there near 0%. We also see that government bond prices have surged right back up towards that 128 level. They're a little bit easier from that level in here today. They're at about 127.5, but still like remarkably high. And both of those things taken together can be looked at with really only one conclusion, and that is that investors remain extremely nervous. They are hovering with their finger over the panic button, and they're unwilling to put their faith in any other asset class other than cash or its immediate proxies. What we also see, and you'll see these statistics once comment of the day is posted today, that record amounts of cash are being raised from redemptions from mutual funds, and we can assume that something similar is going on in the hedge fund industry. And that cash is finding its way into the government bond markets, but it's certainly not going to stay there indefinitely. And this record amount of cash is going to provide, by definition, the fuel for any recovery that takes place. So this is very interesting behavior that we're seeing that being illustrated in government bond markets. This has also been a week in which we've seen the gold price hold steady above $800. It's rallied well now over the last month or so and looking quite steady. Now, over the medium term, you still have that progression of lower highs, and it's still below its 200-day moving average, but certainly looking bullish in the short term. More importantly, is that this week particularly, you've seen quite development in the ratios of gold to other asset classes. So you see that relative to silver and platinum, it is topping out or in the process of topping out relative to gold shares, and particularly those bigger named gold shares, it appears to be conclusively topping out. And that means that while gold itself, in dollar terms, I should add, is quite steady, and in fact, in some other currencies, it has been hitting new highs, but gold is looking like it's set for a period of underperformance relative to other instruments that are related to it, such as gold shares and other precious metals. While relative to the wider market, remains a relatively good hedge against financial turmoil, although that is certainly not the best reason for buying gold for the long term. So that's another thing that's been happening this week. Oil has rallied from testing the $50 level. It broke down below 60 last week and has been finding support around the $50 level. Certainly very overstretched looking considering the extent of the decline and the fact that it has given up basically two-thirds of its peak price in a very short space of time, looking overextended, and I think it's probably time to start looking for some sort of recovery potential in the oil price, which could possibly take a number of years before we get back up towards those highs posted earlier this year. But it, I think, is unlikely that we're going to see the same type of percentage gains we've already, or losses that we've already seen occurring anytime soon for the oil price. And I think we do need to start looking at that in terms of what the shape of the recovery is going to look like and the support building process that is probably going to start there. And for natural gas, we've already seen the beginnings of this support building process. It's been going sideways for give or take about a month, and there is a very noticeable loss of downward momentum on that big pullback from about $14, and it is currently ranging between about $6 and $8. Now you look at that over the longer term, and there is just the justification for being fearful that it could drop below that $6 on a short-term basis. But at the moment, it is finding support relatively well around $6 and rallying reasonably well back above $7. So this is a classic baby steps type scenario, and you can read more about that by typing baby steps into the search and just clicking on the forum search engine, and you will pull up David's article explaining that that trading system. This has also been a week in which I think the headline that I saw today was that the S&P has had its biggest weekly rally since 1974 this week. So what we are seeing is that markets remain incredibly volatile, and volatility hit new highs on a closing basis earlier this week, but has pulled back sharply throughout the latter half of this week. And even though that volatility is pulling back sharply, we continue to see a lot of volatility just in the market because it remains quite high. And this makes trading very difficult and also helps to explain why there is a dearth of demand in the market right now, because the demand is down in its foxhole and it's just not going to come out until the shooting stops. And that means it's going to take time for confidence to be rebuilt, because it takes time to build confidence, and fear can destroy confidence very quickly. That's why markets fall faster than they go up. But the process that we're in right now sees the S&P rallying from finding support around 800 and encountering resistance around 1,000. You had the failed downside break last week and a very strong rally this week. So there is an excellent up chance that we're going to see this S&P rally back up towards that 1,000 level before people start to ask the question, will it or won't it? And it's around that point that people will begin to increase short positions in the hope that they can drive the market back down towards the lower side of the range once more. And of course, that is a very big range. It's a 25% range from the bottom, 20% from the top, and very difficult to trade unless one is willing to anticipate. And again, that leads us back towards that baby steps type trading scenario, which is ideal for trading base formations. It is too early yet to say whether the S&P or many other stock markets are actually in their base formations. We can suppose that they are, based on a number of other external factors, including sentiment and the way government bond prices are trading and the way the dollar is losing momentum. But when you actually look at the stock market charts themselves, this range that they're in at the moment is far more volatile than ranges previously. It's considerably below those other ranges, but it's not a bigger range than we've seen previously. So there is nothing to shake the complacency of the bears beyond the increased volatility down around these levels. And we will need to see this market going sideways for longer, or pushing up successfully out of these well-defined trading ranges and sustaining those moves for the bears to question their winning trading hypothesis. So that being the case, it does leave markets in this very nervous environment where you continue to have this war going on between supply and demand. Now, that's give or take what markets have been doing over the last week, but let's look at this from a little bit longer term. Because the major theme out there at the moment, and it's the accepted reality, is that the USA is moving into a deflationary spiral. And that is being met with the biggest, most wide-ranging policy response that I think has ever been instituted, and not just in the US, but it is an entirely global effort. It's one of the only instances in the world ever where every country is pulling together to rescue the financial markets from this ongoing credit slash solvency crisis. And they have a better chance of making this work than at any point in the past. And we have seen that assets have fallen so remarkably quickly, and sentiment has deteriorated so incredibly fast, that value is appearing very quickly in lots of equity markets, and particularly in corporate bond markets. And of course, corporate bonds, classically high yield bonds, would have traded like, have been considered to trade like equities. But what we've seen recently is that all bonds are trading like equities because they have become so volatile and the market has been deserted by investors. So spreads have widened out on fixed interest bonds from highly rated companies to levels not seen in a generation, and they're trading at record spreads over treasuries. So it is certainly time for someone who wants to diversify part of their portfolio and look for something that will give them a higher yield over the longer term to start looking at some of these investment vehicles or potentially some funds if one is willing to do the due diligence and find out exactly what these funds are holding. And you'll see my commentary on that today in Comment of the Day. So, looking forward, how is this market going to recover? Because we've already had an enormous fall. Could this market fall further? The answer swiftly is yes, but the big question is how much further will it fall if it does fall? And I'm inclined to think probably not an awful lot further, given the extent of the bearishness out there. Now, the deleveraging process has been best monitored via the spreads that we see in the credit markets, but most importantly in the dollar and the yen. And those trends are losing consistency. We look at the way the dollar has been trading and it's lost momentum. You've had failed upside breaks. And these are characteristics, considering the extent of that upward acceleration, these are characteristics of a type 2 top formation, which is characterized by this loss of momentum and failed upside breaks, and is completed by a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Now, we haven't had that massive reaction just yet. We saw that the dollar fell quite sharply earlier this week, but firmed up in here today. And there is still potential that this loss of momentum could continue for a while longer. However, the longer that this loss of momentum continues sideways, what is happening is that demand is being thinned out below the market and supply is being thinned out above the market. And that is what happens in a normal range. But when you have these failed upside breaks, they're an indication that supply is not being thinned out above the market, that there is still plenty of supply above the market. And when we have the rising lows, that means that people are raising their stops behind each incrementally higher low, setting up the loss or the vacuum of demand underneath the range. And when those stops begin to be hit, then we get that massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It will be as obvious as sin when that market eventually tops out, because we're likely to get a very big downward reaction if this type 2 potential top holds out. For the market to push upwards or to reassert its uptrend and offset potential for this to be a type 2 top, it needs to rally significantly above that 88 level and sustain the move. And there's no evidence that it's about to do that just yet. So, with the potential for this dollar to be topping out And so many of these investment vehicles that investors would consider holding for the longer term at rock bottom levels, we are looking at a major catalyst for a significant rally. That significant rally will flush out a number of the short positions, but given the extent of the fall, that short covering rally is likely to precede some form of base building or support building period in a large number of assets, and that will be an opportunity for people to increase positions in advance of a broad-based recovery for the global stock markets, or for the global economy, I should say. Is that going to happen in 2009? Well, certainly we could reasonably expect that all of the policy measures that have been put in place will start to become evident in economies from the middle of next year. So, looking into 2009, it's almost certainly going to be better than 2008. But we have to start looking at what are the markets that are going to perform. And I want to go back to the fuller money themes. Supply inelasticity meets rising demand has been a long-term theme here at Fuller Money for the last 6 years. And you have President-elect Obama talking about investing billions of dollars in US infrastructure, and it looks to be necessary from the point of view that infrastructure needs to be massively overhauled, and it will also help to put some of the millions of people who've lost their jobs back to work and help stimulate the economy. So that will be almost a given. And we can expect the same type of pump priming type activity across the developed world. And notably, China, for example, hasn't had to alter its development work or infrastructure plans one iota since the beginning of this credit crisis, and has actually increased the amount of money they're willing to spend on developing domestic infrastructure. So that is a continuation of the demand side, and it will also help to restore demand in OECD countries for some of these basic resources, which have been hit so remarkably hard as a result of the credit crisis. There was a very interesting article posted a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the Investment Notes. Gosh, I can't remember the name of the head of the fund, but they made the excellent point that the markets that have fallen the most were the ones where hedge funds were most active. And with redemptions rising and the pressure that was put on some of those funds, both from redemptions and from others shorting those well-known or highly visible positions, those markets fell very, very aggressively. And of course, once people see that those markets have fallen so remarkably quickly, there is the temptation to say, well, that's it for that market. But if it was more a case of forced selling rather than the end of the super cycle for commodity demand, then we are back to areas. It's sort of back to the future, because you see so many of these shares and commodities themselves have come back to prices that we haven't seen in about 3 or 4 years. The demand cycle is still very much there. The global economy is in a recession, or as near as makes no difference to recession. So demand has pulled back, and forced sellers and short sellers have driven commodities down to levels we haven't seen in years. But since it is forced selling, there is a good chance that these markets have strong recovery potential when this global recession eases. And given the way that we have seen liquidity pumped into these markets with such abandon, inflationary pressures are bound to rise, which also makes gold in particular an excellent long-term investment, which is best bought, and this is the case with all commodity investments because they are By their very nature of volatile asset class, they're best bought following corrections. And this is the case today with commodities such as platinum, which is down below $1,000, or silver, which is hovering around $10, and the grains have halved. Now, none of these have yet to show us incontrovertible bullish activity, but they're certainly ones to keep an eye on because they have excellent recovery potential. And we also see that some of the miners are beginning to find support, that we're seeing broader ranges following these large downward accelerations, which is a loss of momentum following these big downward moves, and they also have recovery potential. So we need to start looking at the shares that we're interested in for the long term. And that is no less the case for emerging markets than it is for commodity shares, because growth in GDP is going to be centered in Asia, and commodity producing countries are still in surplus for the majority of them. And I've noticed that this week the Latin American indices have been performing quite well. I think I may do a chart review of those on Monday. So with predominantly commodity producing countries in South America, if they have firmed up, even though the commodities that they export haven't, then people are starting to look at them and saying, well, there's recovery potential here. And that is something that we have to be aware of, because emotionally our temptation is to become increasingly bearish when we see a massive decline. Of course, what we also need to remain vigilant for the next time we see markets accelerating on the upside is becoming overly bullish when it becomes so easy to make money. And that is something to remember when this recovery gets a little bit long in the tooth a couple of years from now, or potentially even longer than that. But right now, it's doing nobody any favors to become increasingly bearish when we see catalysts emerging for this market to begin to turn around and base formation development beginning in a number of instruments. So that is extremely interesting to watch. And of course, in the currency markets, you have the dollar topping out against just about everything else, which leaves enormous potential for, particularly in those emerging markets, them to rally considerably against the dollar when it eventually begins to top out. So certainly ones to watch there, because they're some of the markets that have had the biggest fall. And you could say the same thing for the Australian dollar or the New Zealand dollar, which have also had incredible falls against the US dollar and indeed against the yen. So these are things to watch out for. Now, we've long talked about the generational long period of P/E ratio contraction and rising dividend yields that are to be seen in the US. And certainly there's been a lot of commentary recently about the fact that yields have risen in the US, PEs have come down, and that while valuations are below their long-term averages, they are still off the levels that were seen in the early 70s when you had massive PE contraction. But given the extent of the liquidity that's been added to this market, we may not see, even though this has been an incredible deflationary type or disinflationary type environment, we may not see the contraction in ratios that we saw back in the 70s. But given the fact that they are already after coming off so much, there is the potential for quite good bargains to be found in equity markets. But the USA has a lot of problems, and while there is probably no other country in the world has embraced diversity and innovation more than the USA, it has a lot of problems in front of it, and recovery is going to take time, which means that there are probably going to be lots of other stock markets, particularly in the emerging world, are going to outperform massively on the upside when we get into a recovery for the USA. And that is probably going to be, those are going to be the markets which win the international beauty contest, where we have the privilege of posing as the judges. And looking at these government bond prices, well, these government bond prices are remarkably high up here. And I think it would be a very brave person to predict that they're going to go very much higher when you see the short end of the curve yielding zero. And you would have to be pricing in a deflationary spiral akin to that seen in Japan to believe that bond prices can sustain their levels up at these levels. But seeing them move very much higher, I personally think that if they go very much higher, it will be only on a very short-term basis as the last of this panic selling or capitulation takes place. And the massive amounts of cash on the sidelines will gradually make their way back into markets. And those who are willing to invest in the near future as that recovery begins to take place, we'll probably see the best of the gains. And of course, just like in every other bull market, the people who get in first are also the people who get in first in a new bull market are often those who have that vision thing that can see into the future and can discount the worst of the news at the bottom and buy early, but they're often the people who sell first because, one, they are preconditioned by the prior bear market to not envisage just how far a market can go. So there is going to be the temptation when any recovery takes place to sell too early, and we have to be vigilant for progressions of rising lows, because that is likely to be the most consistent feature of any emerging uptrend, and they will be the most important thing to monitor going forward. And with that, I will leave you for the weekend, but thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a restful time of it.